If you want to go with a winner, stay with the church. And I'll tell you why on this edition of Key Life.
Hey, if you're into Stuffy, turn off the radio now, because this is Key Life, designed to be honest, straightforward, and street smart. Here's Steve Brown with the teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. Hope you had a great weekend, and I hope your pastor's sermon meant as much to you as mine did to me. Today, we are going back to what we left just before Easter week, last week. We're going back to our Old Testament survey, and I told you we were going to do this until I die or Jesus comes back, but we're going to finish this Old Testament survey. Now, what we're doing is not a line by line, precept by precept, verse by verse study of the Old Testament. I don't have that kind of time. I'm an old guy. So what we're doing is taking each book of the Older Testament. I'm giving you some exegetical notes concerning each of the books. And then in each of the books, I become a tour director, lifting up some specific passages. I'm doing this for a number of reasons, but one of the primary reasons is the spurious view that Christians have that the Old Testament portrays a wrathful God who is mean and a child abuser. But in the New Testament, we find out the truth that he's a loving, kind, and gentle, and gracious God. Let me tell you something. That comes from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. As a matter of fact, the Older Testament is the base of the doctrines of grace. And so we're spending some time with each of the books of the Older Testament. And today, as we return to this Old Testament survey, we're up to the second book of Chronicles, having dealt quite adequately with First Chronicles. Before we get into the study, let's go before the throne. Father, as we begin a new week of study in your word, we praise you and we thank you that you wrote it down. If you hadn't written it down, we probably would have gotten it wrong. So thank you for your word. Father, forgive us the time when, because of your word, we found out that we were disobedient, that we were not walking in your ways, that we did not understand the truth. Father, we're thankful because in your word you've taught us about your grace and that you're not angry once we come to you because of the cross of Christ. Father, we're thankful for the forgiveness that you tell us about in your word and for the fact that we'll get home before the dark, and you've reminded us in your word. And so we're thankful for the scriptures and for your kindness in writing it down. Father, you know everybody who's listening to this broadcast right now, in their cars, maybe at home, maybe in their office. Father, you know the problems of your people. We're not a number in your book. We're people that you love individually. Father, you know the one who's lonely. You know the one who's going through a divorce. You know the young man who's thinking about serving you in a full-time way, being paid for it, and he doesn't think he's good enough. Father, you know the businesswoman who is facing a major compromise in her life. Father, you know the man who's dealing with a booze problem. You know us all. You know the secrets that we have. You know the things that we try to hide. Father, you know it all. We're not good, but we're yours, and we're not together, but we're yours. So heal and cleanse and change and forgive and motivate and make us effective for your glory. And then, Father, this week as we study your word on Key Life, we pray for the one who teaches. They call him Reverend, and he's not. Forgive him his sins, because they're many. We would see Jesus and him only, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because this week we're going to be studying Second Chronicles mainly, let me kind of bring you up to speed in some of the things that we said about First and Second Chronicles years and years ago when we first started studying these two books. We saw that originally the book of Chronicles was the last book in the Old Testament. We had seen earlier that the Old Testament consists of the law, the prophets, and the writings, In the section on the writings, there are 11 books, and the last of the 11 books following Ezra, Nehemiah, is 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And then we also saw that originally, in the original text, that 1st and 2nd Chronicles were one book, and they were divided because the Greek language, when Hebrew was translated into the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Greek language takes a whole lot more words, sort of like a preacher. And so the book was divided. We saw the tradition said that Ezra had a significant part in writing these two books, and I accept that tradition. And then we saw that there's one major difference between our study in 1st and 2nd Kings and our study in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Kings look at history. They cover the same period, by the way. The books of 1st and 2nd Kings look at history from the perspective of a proud and arrogant people. 1st and 2nd Chronicles look at the same history from the perspective of a conquered people. And that's why you find in the book of Chronicles a gentleness and a kindness and a pastoral quality that you don't always find in 1st and 2nd Kings. Now, kind of, if you're looking for a handle for 2nd Chronicles, let me just tell you a little bit about it. You can build this whole book around five great revivals or awakenings that happened within God's people. There's Asa, that's 2nd Chronicles 15, Jehoshaphat, 2nd Chronicles 20, Joash, 2nd Chronicles 23-24, Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29 through 31, and Josiah, 2 Chronicles 35. Now, throughout the book of 2 Chronicles, we see how God restores and revives his people himself. Now, we're gonna take some time with each of those revivals, and I'm gonna say something about how God works. But I want to give you kind of an overview of 2nd Chronicles, at least beginning at the 15th chapter. I wrote a book a number of years ago in which I expressed a belief that the church was not going to die. Now, you got to remember that I wrote that book when the God is Dead movement. Now, some of you aren't old enough to know that, but it's been a lot of years ago. But there were three twits. One was Altizer, and I forget the other two's names. Who called themselves theologians, who said God was dead and we were going to have to make it on our own. Time magazine and Newsweek magazine had major cover stories on the God is Dead movement. I was speaking for some little churches in Michigan near Lansing, and they were having God's trial at the University of Michigan. And that was the context in which I wrote the book. Everybody was pessimistic about the church. We're going to die, so deal with it. God is dead, so deal with it. We don't have any supernatural power, so deal with it. Incidentally, a lot of that was written out of a misunderstanding of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's writings. At any rate, so I wrote this book. It was called Where the Action Is. It won a significant Book of the Year award from Christianity Today, and three people bought it. It was one of the biggest bombs in the history of the Christian church. The editor said, I just don't understand it. But I don't care. It was a good book. And you know why it was a good book? Because it lifted me up now that the years have passed and we can see the truth that I was a prophet. I said in that book, you ought to check the coffin. God might not be there. I said the church wasn't going to die. It was the bride of Christ. It'll get wounded and sick and hobble around on crutches sometimes, but God will come and protect and revive, and you can count on it. Now, I was not whistling in the wind, I want you to know. I was talking about a truth, and it was a truth that I knew to be true. Now, today, when we look back, right after I wrote that book, the Jesus movement happened in America and in Canada. And it was one of the great awakenings we have seen in our countries. Hundreds of thousands of young people came to know Christ. The church was revitalized, and even today we're feeling the effects from all of that. And if you remember when I started talking about this, I said there were three twits that were involved for the God is Dead movement. And the only reason I remember the name Thomas Altizer is that it's such a weird name. The other two, I can't even remember, and you don't even know who Thomas Altizer is. Aren't I wise? Aren't you impressed with my understanding of biblical truth? Are you ready to ordain me as a prophet? Well, wait, before you do it, let me tell you the truth. I knew. You see, I understood about the church. I knew what the Bible said. I had read 2 Chronicles, and I knew that God isn't going to let us die. That's why I think we make a big mistake in the church defending the church too much. I share the views of the religious right, or the so-called religious right. I'm not involved in that because I think there's some things that are a lot more important than that. But I share those views. But one of the things that kind of bothers me sometimes is our constant defense of our position. You don't have to do that. God is like a mother lion, and you don't mess with a mother lion's cubs. And so take it from this old prophet who years ago spoke truth in a dead time and said, "Don't you back off. We're God's people." God protects his people. He revives his people. He changes his people. They are, after all, his people. You think about that. Amen. We'll talk a little bit more about revivals tomorrow. Hey, listen, do you have the Key Life catalog listing? I'd love to send it to you free. When you get it, you'll see why. And by the way, when you write or call, you might want to ask to be a part of our Key Life tape family, where you get a tape free every few weeks. Just give us a call, and we'll send you the catalog listing or make you a part of Key Life Tapes. 1-800-KEY-LIFE. You can call 24 hours a day. You can write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or you can write in Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. You can email us with your regular mailing address to steve@keylife.org. Hey, listen, when I say this stuff is free, I really mean that. But, man, I depend on you. This is an expensive ministry. We have no slush funds. Nobody's making big bucks. And we squeeze every dime for God's glory. So pray about it. If you can help us be as generous as you can, you can charge it on your MasterCard card, a Visa, or Discover card. You can include a contribution in your envelope. And you help a whole lot of people. We send out hundreds of thousands of free tapes and pieces of literature. So do be generous if you can. If you can't, I understand. Just pray for us. By the way, for any contribution of any size, when you request it, I'll send you the cassette teaching, A Word for the Discouraged, free. Hey, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.